As entrepreneurs, we want to expand our business. We want to have tremendous success, but we get caught up in the cycles of business. And what I have is a remarkable individual who's going to be our guest, who has really figured out how to build great businesses while not being subject to the normal business cycles. And Ken has really, from both acquiring and developing over $2 billion of real estate. He's focused on green technology with really an emphasis on the green energy side. And he's combined these in a way that I think you're going to be amazed, not only on the lessons on real estate and the green side, but more importantly, how you can live your life as an entrepreneur to really make a major impact. I'm John Bowen. We're at AESNation.com. Stay tuned. It's going to be remarkable.
Ordinary success? No way. You want amazing, remarkable, exceptional breakthroughs. Dig deep. Think bold. Drive hard. Watch yourself soar beyond your dreams. AESNation.com.
Yeah, and I am just so excited to have you join me today at AESNation.com. You know how busy you are and with all the things you've got going on. But first of all, thank you for being here.
You're welcome, and thank you for the invite. I'm happy to share and help in any way that I can.
We're in I call it a mastermind group, strategic coach Dan Sullivan, together. And we had the opportunity to sit together a couple months ago, and I was just kind of blown away on what you were doing, what you were accomplishing. And then you shared with me, we'll make available later, the essays you had written on life lessons and thoughts on different areas. And I said, geez, I've got to get you on my podcast. And I might be a little embarrassed how much I begged you to do this, but you were so kind to do that. And before we go into kind of what you've been doing and life lessons you're going to share with everyone, give us a little backstory. How did you get started on all this?
Well, the question is on this being which part?
Well, life in general. I mean, you're extremely successful real estate, you know, a developer, investor. You're also, you know, doing, you've done these complementary businesses that we're going to get into from the business cycle. But, you know, my guess is you didn't wake up, you know, at five or six and say, I'm going to be a real estate investor. You know, how did this all come together?
Well, you know, I started off in 1980, and I'm going to date myself in technology and mini computers and software at the early age of 20 years old. I came across an amazing opportunity, and we designed a vertical market system for dentists on what are called Alpha Micro mini computers before the IBM PC, about 2 years before the IBM PC came out. And, you know, it was a fabulous run. I stayed with this firm till 1987. But I really started when I was 13 years old. I read a book called, and you asked me this earlier, what's my favorite book of all times? And it's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And at 13 years old, I read this book, and it just imprinted anything that I wanted. I knew that I could program, and I did it. I was able to program a few things. And so by 1987, at 27 years old, I was born in 1960, I had made a very large goal at the time, and I knew I couldn't achieve it in the current partnership with the current company. And so I watched a few people that I know in real estate development, saw the wealth, saw the lifestyle, saw the opportunity, and I decided to shift gears and move into real estate development from computers and software. And so that really moved me forward into the and it was goal-driven. It was very much Dan Sullivan. I didn't have his principles at the time, but it was designing a very, very large future and then breaking it down and analyzing it. And I couldn't do it with the current opportunity. I needed a new platform, and that was real estate development at the time.
Let me interrupt just for a second.
Sorry.
Because
yep.
I want to get, you know, it's one thing to, you're having success in one industry. I was playing with Texas Instrument mini computers, writing financial software back in those days before the PC too. And And so it was a really interesting time. But I mean, making that shift from there to real estate, you know, it's one thing to have the goal, you know, of accomplishing, you know, some, you see how the much more opportunity, but how hard was it for you to make that transition?
Well, you know, I joined a firm, I learned the finance side, then I joined a partnership to learn the property management side, the construction side, the development side. And it was about a, you know, 15-year transition to becoming a full-fledged developer, contractor, you know, doing all of our own work for our own account. We weren't a contractor for other people, but the ability to control every aspect of that cycle of a project took about 15 years. And, you know, we learned how to play cycles. We saw some, we were, you know, at perfect timing in the 1990 meltdown, the RTC Resolution Trust. You know, at that time, that was one of the largest transfer of wealth in America history, in America's history, from the SNL savings and loans crisis, as the RTC government formed entity started repatriating assets back to private industry. And we were able to take advantage of that, bought about $1 billion of those assets. And, you know, those were very much acquisition. I mean, like, quite frankly, you could have been, you know, the least bright guy on the block, and you would have made a lot of money. So in those days. And then, you know, we transitioned into having to add more value by actually doing construction, development, zoning, construction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that brought a whole different level of skills in and so forth.
Well, it is. I mean, I was thinking I built an office building in 1986 with a couple of guys. We borrowed, each of us put up $100 and borrowed $6 million.
Boy.
And the bank went under as we were doing all this, so we couldn't do the takeout commitment they couldn't honor, obviously. And so I learned a lot about the RTC. I would call it one of the more challenging things, and it ended up making money because we were able to buy, you know, the loan back and be very profitable on the transaction. But it was some of the messiest things in my life. And, you know, and quite honestly, I didn't know enough about real estate. I shouldn't have been involved in it. And one of the things I've learned and I'm hearing from you is surround yourself by really talented people. It sounds like over that 15-year period, you had the privilege of working with some really talented other entrepreneurs that, you know, you were a student as well as working with them, and you've taken those lessons.
You know, it's like in our technology company, I'm sure you're going to ask people to transition to this at some point. I mean, we're really a material science-based, you know, technology company. And I had no idea when I signed up and, you know, wrote my check and put my dollars in and shook hands with the inventor and, you know, built the teams here, I didn't even understand what material science was. I mean, I had a sense of it, but I didn't understand what it really was. And, you know, it's just a quick, you bring the best people in the categories that you're in, and you know, surround yourself with these amazing talents, people that have been doing it for 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, it's amazing what comes together. You know, as someone said to me not too long ago, one plus one, you know, or one and one adds up to 11 and not two. And that synergy is very powerful, and that's what occurs.
Well, and I think you're really a great example. Why don't we segment into that? I mean, you know, one of the key elements, I think, Ken, that so impressed me with our first meeting, that, you know, normally if you've had success in real estate, most of the people I know who've had success in real estate, you know, just stay doing real estate, and they keep on doing it. And you shared with me some of the limitations, and you were looking for other opportunities that would complement, and you got into green technology. And I've had some friends, I'm in Silicon Valley, get into green technology, and clearly some of them have had some major success, but others haven't. And you were sharing with me how they kind of meld together, and it was a natural progression. I think I was a little shocked that it was as natural as you said, but maybe, you know, share some of that story too, of how that transition happened and why you did it.
Well, I think, you know, you talked about Dan Sullivan. And, you know, a lot of his principles come into play, and Peter Diamandis and, you know, XPRIZE, Singularity University, his whole organization, the difference, really understanding the difference between linear and exponential comes into play. And then, you know, part of what I'll talk about here is understanding cycles. And I didn't understand cycles. And, you know, I had some difficulty in the 08 meltdown. And one of the questions I know you asked me earlier was, you know, what are some of your biggest lessons? So going back to answer this question, in 2006, I came back from our village. I'm involved for 12 years with a gentleman, a family, John and Kendra Enright, in Africa. And when I came back, when I was in Africa, we set these very, very large goals for John, Kendra, their children, for the village in Kafukumba in Zambia, and for Central Africa. And when I came back, I realized I wasn't up to enough, and I want to impact more than a billion people in what I'm up to, and building apartment buildings doesn't impact and doesn't change the world, doesn't make a difference. So I made a goal to make billions of dollars to empower global community. It was that specific or that general. And then I detailed out what that means. So October 13th, 2006, I made that large goal. And what I did is I reverse engineered it, like I did going from technology to real estate. And I realized I couldn't do it in real estate. So I had to get back into technology again. I needed the leverage, not the money leverage, not the financial leverage like borrowing money. I needed the leverage of what technology would do in order to make those impacts. And so as Dan would say, and as Dan does say, and as a very good student of his, you know, money allows people to make impacts in their family, community, and the world. So money's a good thing. And I knew that I needed to have a B in my program, being the billion, in order to be the change agent. So long story short is, I reverse engineered that using Dan Sullivan's principles. And if you do distribute those 11 essays, the last essay in there, essay number 11, is actually a summary of how I put that goal together, that very large goal, and reverse engineered it. So so with that in light, I then learned something called linear and the difference between a linear company and an exponential company. I learned why Google became what it became and why other large companies that are in linear industries became what they became. And so the principle is very simple. Dan Sullivan has a quote, and he says, you get paid a lot more when you offer a transformation than you do when you offer a transaction. And how you know that you're offering a transformation is when you're a hero to somebody. So when you're a hero, it's a transformation. When it's a transaction, there's no hero status. And so when I was looking at being in real estate, it's always linear. And there's never a hero factor. I mean, I can build a fantastic community and put lots of bells and whistles in it, but really it's not transformational, it's transactional. It's a good transactional, okay? And it may be a higher level of linear. And so in the transformational world, you're providing the world with solutions. In the transaction world, you're providing the world with parts. So if you look at an iPhone, there's probably 20 suppliers that share $8 of margin. But by the time Apple takes that same phone and sells it to the phone company, and the phone company provides it to me, they never see it and they get part of my contract, they're making something over $2,000, but 20 other suppliers made $8. So for assembly, for the glass, for the drive. And so the point is that a parts provider makes a parts margin, and a solutions provider makes a solutions margin, being exponential. So that was a really big piece of selecting why I needed to get into technology. I wanted that leverage, and I wanted to be in an exponential world, not a linear world, as real estate is.
Well, it's, you know, when you said that to me when we were sitting next to each other, Ken, the first time we met, it was like, you know, so blindingly obvious. And you can certainly build, you know, great wealth in real estate, and you can leverage it fairly well, traditional financial leverage, but you know it is linear. And in today's world, with the access that all of us as fellow entrepreneurs have to technology, the value creation we can do, you know, with 7 billion people on the world by using technology. I mean, all the, I don't know hardly any of the part manufacturers in, an Apple device. And on the other hand, I do have my, I just reach over and grab my smartphone. I got my smartphone here and I use some Apple products, I use some PCs, but, so many of those, I mean, they're heroes to me because they've made a difference that, you and I can, have this conversation for next to nothing over Skype, leverage it, and, have it go out to several thousand of our entrepreneurial members at AESNation.com. It's an amazing thing. And that's, being hero to whatever group, you can really grow exponentially, and you've done that.
Well, I mean, take a look at, one more example is I'm going to the airport. I decide to phone up a company, a cab company. I'll leave them unnamed for now. And the lady answers and says it'll be the cab will be there in 15 to 45 minutes. And I said to her, well, my flight's an hour and a half and I'm 15 minutes from the airport. So do you have a cab identified for me? And she said, no. And I said, well, do you tell everybody that? And she says, yes. I said, could it be an hour? And she said, absolutely. So now I was starting to annoy her with all the questions. And she said, look, would you like this or would, or not? And I had just had my assistant set up my Uber app for me. And I said, okay, well, thank you. And, but I'll find another option. So I pressed my Uber app and it showed me within seconds that there was three, cars available, within two blocks. And I pressed it, confirmed it for $4 more, roughly. It was at my residence within 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So that company and that driver was a hero to me that day because I didn't have the angst. I didn't have any stress. I hopped in, I made my flight. I didn't have to pay $32 a night at the airport and I could leave my car at home and I could make calls and there was no money that exchanged hands. And so there's an example of a solution. So if you were going to invest in a company today, knowing what you know now, would you invest in yellow cabs or would you invest in Uber?
And there's a slightly different market cap.
And yeah. So why is Uber the market cap that it has is because it provides a solution. And why are the other companies, fighting it? Because they provide a parts style model, a transaction. And Uber provides a transformation. And it's a smaller one. But it makes my world better. It makes other worlds better. And that's the difference between solutions and parts or transformations and transactions.
Well, and really becoming a hero, too, because I want to point out, Ken, I know I, when I left the meeting with you, I wanted to stay for the absolute last minute, but I had to catch an earlier flight. So I hit Uber. And the second it rang, I walked out of the room. And I've been traveling the last 2 weeks and, have used Uber at every single time. And then you and I are both talking about too. They wanted to be a hero to the business traveler in the the black car series. They're doing it more for everyone and UberX. And to the extent that we can do that. Now you've done it. You're making it. You can't be a hero really in real estate. It's hard to. I mean, there might be a small group, but you can't do it exponentially.
Right.
It's led you to this green technology. What are some of the lessons you're learning there in how you can be a hero and the ability to have exponential growth?
Well, when Dan 2 years ago, one of our technologies is a technology that that allows a diesel engine to run 100% horsepower and torque, the same as a diesel engine. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we hit for the first time in industry history, diesel cycle combustion with 100% natural gas. So we can run an 80-cent gallon of natural gas with less BTU flow. So call it a 60-cent gallon versus a $3.50 to $4 gallon of diesel, much cleaner. It's a clean engine, not a green engine. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so how we put this together is I had a billionaire trucker in our company who has 20,000 trucks. And he said, well, how much is the kit 2 years ago? The same week that Dan gave me this quote. And I said, it's roughly, we'll roughly charge $40,000, $50,000 for it. And he said, well, how much will it cost you? And I said, we're trying to get it down to 12. And he said to me, I don't mind you getting chubby. I just don't want you getting fat. So, and Dan Sullivan the same week gave me this quote. And it was quite jarring for me. It wasn't like ego. It wasn't, I wasn't upset. There was something there and I couldn't. And so that week I realized, I did the math. And what I realized is and I did some more metrics by putting the kit in for free. So we got the kit for a truck down to $15,000. And we got the truck down to the kit to put on a truck for $15,000. Mm-hmm. And so long story short is we put it on for free. 90% of all truckers are independently owned. 70% return home. We triple the trucker's income. So the average trucker makes $35,000 a year and $12 an hour. Okay? So think of these metrics for a second. This man, 91% own homes and 78% mm-hmm. are married. They have children. They own a home and they live on $35,000 a year. Okay? They own their truck and support their truck on $35,000 and their family. So their income, by cutting their fuel costs, goes to $90,000 instantly per year, and we're a hero to that truck driver. And he wrote no money up front. So what happened, bringing together those two different people, Dan Sullivan and this billionaire trucker, who said I can only get chubby and not fat, it actually had us. I mean, I'm literally thank him. I have downstairs in the boardroom right now his attorney, because they're now wanting to get our kits, and he's downstairs right now getting an update, the same billionaire trucker's representative, to get an update. But the point is that we went from charging for the kits to putting it in for free and splitting the fuel savings. So our model is that we only rent the system, we never sell anything, and we split the value creation. And so that trucker doesn't care that my payback of my kit is 50 days. And he doesn't care that we make $227,000 over 5 years on our contract on a $15,000 worth of equipment. He cares about is that for the next 5 years, he's going to make more than $90,000 a year. And I'm a hero. Our company's a hero to him and his family.
This is one of the things I love, Ken, when I was talking with you, that, you know, the ability to be a hero, and I just encourage every entrepreneur to think of finding the right group that you want to be a hero to,
right?
And then being creative. I mean, sometimes we got to price it so we can get a return right away, and taking that longer vision. I'm doing some projects like that too. I mean, the lifetime value of the client is mm-hmm. so high. And you're a hero to them. I mean, this is where you have, and there's a lot, Ken, I don't know if you know this, there's a lot of truckers in the world. I mean,
there is. And 90% of them make $35,000 a year, and we completely change their worlds.
Yeah, no, this is where, I mean, I might go back to Uber just for a second. You and I have ridden a lot of Uber cars. Those drivers love it. They're more than happy to pay their percentage to Uber.
Right.
And it's really just simply an app using technology today. It's an amazing thing they've accomplished. The lifetime value of each of those relationships is huge. You're just doing that same thing. It's amazing.
So then we take that same trucker in 18 months, and we have the trucker simply burn the hydrogen out of the natural gas. So now the trucker turns completely green. So he's got a green truck, he's cleaning the air, and we take the carbon and we turn the carbon into higher value durable goods. So stage two is we add even more value. When he's running a much cleaner truck, he's going to get more business. And when we move him to purely green, where he's literally, the truck is cleaning the air as it's driving around regionally on the highways, and purely burning hydrogen out of that same fuel, and the carbon is being turned into durable goods, which we've now perfected that technology, we've got this second value add for him and his family. His income goes up again, and his business will further increase. So, yes, we'll do business with the billionaire trucking firms, However, I'm not going to be in a room or be in business with someone who says I can only get chubby. I'm not allowed to get fat.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you know, finding the right group who wants you to be a hero, you can be a hero to, and then you can monetize it. You know, Ken, one of the things that I want to ask, and this is something you and I've talked about in the past too, is that, you know, you had this vision, you know, this vision that you wanted to, you're in real estate, you're having a lot of success, you want to, you know, make a bigger impact. You want that future to be much larger. You want to be a hero to a much larger group. You had to change. You made that transition, as you shared. You didn't have, I mean, you said clearly you didn't have the knowledge in this space, but you put, you know, financially, time, energy, and money, you put that flag into the ground that we're going to do this. How do you go from, you know, having this commitment to really making this happen?
So number one is it's confidence. Okay, you've got to have the confidence and know that you can attract the people, you can attract the resources, you can, you know, put the time and energy in. In one of my essays, I talk about, and there's a little chart in there, and it talks about complexity. Most brains get really confused by how to execute something. And if you look at a real estate development and you look at construction, you break down a building into its components. You break it right down to the very first thing that you do. After you get your zoning and pull your permits, you go out and you clear the land. And then you dig your footings. And then from the footings, you figure out your pad and your foundations, and you put in where your lines are going to go. Your plumbing and your electrical. So before you pour the concrete, you've got everything laid out in there, and then you lay the concrete. Life is really the same thing. And so all I've done is taken those principles, and what I call it is complexity to simplicity. So you take, the secret for me is to take very complex situations and break them down into simple chunks, because complexity is not actionable. What's actionable is simplicity. So to get other people on your team and get them enrolled, it's taking simple chunks of the complex bigger picture and then executing those. And that's what I believe creates success. So
I totally agree, Ken. I mean, what my experience has been, I always call it to get onto the right side of complexity, that simple. You know, we start out, we're simple because we're ignorant. We don't get it. And then, you know, we deal with all these complexity. Those entrepreneurs who can really reduce that complexity, you know, to a simple process that executes and gets the results.
Right. It's actionable. It's all about actions. There's nothing in life gets done without an action. And as soon as you can break it down to, you'll notice you take something complex. As soon as you break it down, it automatically turns to an action. As soon as it gets down to a simple enough chunk, it's already in action. But any time it isn't in action, it's too complex. And so I call it complexity, simplicity, actionable equals success. So, it's in my essay number 7, which is the importance of flow.
Yeah, and we're going to go over resources. I've just put it up on the screen so they can see it, the formula, if you're on the video side. And if you're not, you know, you can simply go to aesnation.com. We're going to have all the links of everything Ken and I mentioned during this, so that, you know, the resource. And I got to tell you, his essays, I kept on getting blown away with so many things that you're doing, Ken, because you've taken it to the high level. And I want to go, one of the things that I'm sitting there with you, and you're the first guy, I'm around a lot of healthy individuals, but you're the first guy with coconut oil on the table. And tell me a little bit of why health and fitness is so important to you, and you know, both personal and professional.
Well, I think, you know, how I got into this technology company, this situation is, I did a talk in early 07. I made my large goal October 13th, 2006. And then I got invited to talk to about 150 entrepreneurs. And my talk was on confidence. And so, you know, there's a few things I do, and it's covered off in the essays. One of them is health and fitness. And so, you know, why specifically coconut oil? Well, that's a subset of health. And, you know, getting the right amount of exercise on a regular basis builds a lot of confidence for me. partly because I'm doing it and partly because I make it just part of my lifestyle. And the other is healthful eating. I mean, my energy, I'm 54 and I have better energy than I do. I've always had high energy and I have better energy than I did when I was 18, 20, 30. And, you know, I found for my body type and for my world, sort of the perfect formula of what just gives me, I have the same energy at 5 a.m. when I wake up, 5:30 roughly in that time frame. I have the same energy at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night as I do when I wake up in the morning. And so eating well, eating healthy food, you know, I don't eat very seldom do I eat simple carbs. I use coconut oil to stay in what's called ketosis. And I found that it's an amazing medium chain triglyceride that, you know, releases ketones into my bloodstream. And I really notice that on a daily basis. In fact, funny enough, before this call, I hadn't taken my coconut oil, my 4 tablespoons. So I just had it with a cup of tea. And I actually, one of the rare days that I forget, I was going, I forgot something today. So I just took it about an hour ago.
The power of rituals and really focusing on health and nutrition is just so important. I want to encourage everyone. I'm newer to that than you are. And it's made a huge difference in my life already. And I can just see, you know, having that extra energy and being able to maintain the energy level for, you know, being fully engaged. It's just, it's a game changer.
Well, I was in a race last Thursday. I was in a race where I was in a trophy truck. I started the race at about 1 p.m. And I got out at 3 o'clock in the morning. And because of the coconut oil, because of the nutrition, my focus was very close to the same as it was 1 o'clock the day before. And so I was in there for 14 hours, you know, with 850 horsepower and the Baja 1000. And we had a couple of complications which got us behind. But my co-driver was eating carbohydrates, was eating some sort of goopy, sugary crap, sports drinks with high fructose corn. And I could watch his brain crash, constantly crash and be out of focus to the point where I couldn't use him for a few hours as my co-driver. I had to drive my own data on my own screen at high speed. And he was too far behind me. So it was really a monumental moment for me because I could watch one type of healthy eating and I could watch the traditional diet and I could just see how the brain was coming in and out of focus. And so it was really fun to see that juxtaposition of the two eating styles.
And I would encourage everyone to spend some time understanding that. But let me go to the next segment here.
Please.
And this is the app of the day. And I think you shared with me one that you like a lot. And what was that?
Well, audible.com is, you know, I don't get a lot of time to read books. I love reading, but by the time I finish my emails and all my business reading and so forth, and I learn a lot from books, very, very powerful. So I have a goal to read a book a week. And I do it through audible.com, and it's my favorite app. I get up early in the morning, throw my gear on, it's my time, take my dogs, go out to the golf course, do a run, do a workout, and just listen to a good book.
Yeah, I found that to be, you know, other than aesnation.com, Audible, and I use that a lot. I love during workout to have the headset on.
Yeah, the podcasts are fantastic as well, of course. I mean, those are another fantastic learning tool.
Yeah, we've got so much, you know, we talk about we need lifelong learning, and they're so readily available. Let me go to Book of the Day. And here you had already mentioned, I'm going to just put it up on the screen so we have the record of it, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
By Joseph Murphy.
Yeah, and tell me why you like, I'm not familiar with this book.
Okay. Well, it's a book that really trains you how to program your subconscious mind, and you know, right when you're going to sleep, right when you're waking up, and very powerful. And I read it for the first time when I was 13 years old, and I saw it immediately affect my world. I wanted something, I programmed my mind, I stayed on it, And, you know, within a few months, I had whatever it is that I was looking and seeking. And so I do it every day. I mean, when I go to sleep, I'm programming my mind. I have out of that book since I was 13, I have a little, sort of little sentence, and it says that the infinite power of my subconscious mind will make me even more healthy, wealthy, and wise. And so I literally will, when I woke up this morning, I'll literally go through health, 11% body fat, and I'll literally visualize myself at a higher level of health than I am today. And my wealth, I'll go through my goals, my wealth, and then, wise being my wisdom, and, you know, how I'm growing that and the goals there and visualizing that. So I spend 5-10 minutes right when I'm waking up and right when I go to bed, falling asleep with that mantra.
And it's made a huge difference. One of the things that I want to bring up as the next section is all about resources. And I got to tell you, Ken, I've worked with a lot of successful entrepreneurs, and you know, you're really focused on, you know, making a big dent in the universe. And not that many of them, though, take time to kind of write their, you know, what I'm going to call essays. And I'm going to put it up, but for those of you who are listening, you know, the link is a little long. So, you know, go to aasnation.com. We'll have the link under the Ken interview. And I got to tell you, you got to read these. Ken, I mean, you took all this time to do the master essays, and you know, I mean, I was reading it on a flight, and I just, you know, that was where I knew I had to have you join me. Tell me a little bit about both the reason why you did these essays and what they're there. And for everybody that, you know, again, we're going to have the link there on aesnation.com so you can download this as well.
So John, the reason that I did that is, you know, It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise an injection system like our system for our trucks. And so my job is to harness people's and companies' capabilities together and harness those and leverage that opportunity. And so really what the essays do is the essays give a cultural, they give a sense of who we are and how we operate. And it creates instant alignment or not. For, you know, depending who and how we're working together. And so I think it's just an opportunity. You know, I think it's good karma, make a difference for people. And it also lets people align with each other. And I think the most important thing, I think the number one app that's missing in the marketplace, I just don't have time for it, is everybody downloads their goals. And then what occurs is it's like a bump app where the goals start to line up and people can start to see where their wagons hitch together. Mm-hmm. And really that's my job at the end of the day is to understand capability and harness those. And the other is to align with companies and other people's goals so that there's a very powerful outcome. And that's what the essays, I think, achieve is for people, to be able to see what those things may be and stretch mark them. It's a calling forward at the same time for people to, you know, just get some other distinctions they may not have, and vice versa, they'll share some with me that I've never thought of.
Well, no, this has been really a great interview. Let me kind of bring it all together here, Ken, on the key takeaways I'm taking away. Yeah, right. The thought, you know, and I mean, this is for everyone. I mean, you know, Ken, you're an inspiration. You're making a huge difference. I want to go over three key takeaways that are coming. I mean, number one is design your life on purpose. And I say that a lot, but Ken took it a little farther. Design your life on purpose so that you're not affected by business cycles. And I think this is one that many of us have thought about but didn't take the conscious action. And Ken has done that. Second is have a high level of confidence so that you can attract the capabilities, those large capabilities. And what I was so amazed with Ken, you know, he put the flag in the ground. He made the commitment first because he had the confidence in that commitment that he would figure it out with the team that he had and the team that he would assemble. So many of us wait until we know how to do something to do it. And that's not, you're not going to attract the capabilities. So you need that. Then the third part is really don't ignore your health. I see so many entrepreneurs who aren't able to really lead great life or in business for not more business, but for a great life. And that will help you have the energy to really make that different. Ken, I want to thank you. I mean, you know, these insights now, it's up to us to put them into action. Our clients, our future clients, they're counting on us. I wish you all the best of success.
Thank you. Thanks for your time and thanks for the invitation.
Exceptional, remarkable breakthrough. AESNation.com.